This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The lights are out.
Hurry, get to the lights, go out.
The game is over. And we're here to pick up the pieces. This is Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
Well, Paul George, his usage rate in this game is outstanding. Shot goes up, blocked by Wiggins. Knocked it away. Curry in transition. Avoids George. Comes right down Broadway. Throws to Draymond behind the back, and he laid it in. Oh, man. Oh, man, what a play by Curry.
Let me tell you. He put a little pepper on that, didn't he? The whole move. That was spectacular.
Started by avoiding George at midcourt.
And then he goes behind his back. Looks like he's going to shoot it. No one knew what he was going to do.
I am out of words. I'm out of words.
You can't explain that.
A little pepper on that. A little salt from Steph Curry in the fourth quarter as he was upset. With a non-call and then an ensuing technical foul, and he took it out on the Clippers with three consecutive three-pointers that put the Clippers to bed in the fourth quarter as the Warriors go on to win this matinee in Los Angeles as they win 105-90. So mark it down now, 7 consecutive victories for the Warriors as they improve to 18-2 on the season. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. That is the phone number to participate in the program. You can give me a call. You can shoot me a text. John Dickinson with you here on Warriors Wrap-Up as we take a look at this ball game and look ahead to what's coming up these next couple of games with the Warriors in the Valley of the Sun to take on a Phoenix Suns squad that's won 16 consecutive games. So as you look at where this Warriors team heads forward now, you're going to have a 7-game winning streak with the Warriors and the team with the best record in the NBA at 18-2 heading to Phoenix. And then you've got the Suns who have won 16 consecutive games, and they now are 17-3. So 1 game off, top 2 teams in the West, top 2 teams in the NBA. And my goodness, is that going to be spicy over the course of this week. And of course, we're going to have you covered on 95.7 The Game leading up to that ball game on Tuesday. And obviously in the aftermath, Wednesday and Thursday, and looking ahead at the rematch, which is going to be the Warriors' next home game inside Chase Center on Friday. So the Warriors getting that win and getting that box checked in this game this afternoon goes a long way toward setting up the mass hysteria in a good way that we're all going to get to be a part of here and experience with those two teams going at it. As far as the ball game this afternoon, I always like to begin by just what you think of a game coming into it versus how exactly things wind up playing out. And I think when you look at this game going into it, you had the top two teams in the NBA in terms of defense. So you're thinking, hey, this has the potential to be a battle. We've seen the Clippers in recent memory like to get really physical, even going back to the home opener that the Warriors played at Chase Center on October the 21st. Warriors were able to get off to a big-time start in that one, scored 44 points in the first quarter. And then from that point on, it was kind of all Clippers, except for Stephen Curry going off and hitting a couple of big threes in the fourth quarter of that one. So you add it all up, and you think there's some potential for a defensive battle, I think, at times. You couple that with the fact that it is an early start, the first and only matinee start on the docket for the Warriors this season. And you wonder, are they going to be maybe looking ahead at the games against Phoenix? Steph Curry, it's well known that the shooting woes that he's had from time to time inside Staples Center. And so you're just kind of wondering, what kind of game is this going to be? The potential was there for it to be ugly. And in the first half, and really for the first 2.5 quarters, it delivered. I think it delivered on every single level as far as ugly, turnovers, poor offense. I think the one aspect of this, good defense as well. I think that is part of the equation when you have a game, 24-20 at the end of the first quarter. It's a 44-42 game at the half with the Warriors ahead, and I think the Warriors had to probably consider themselves, feeling pretty good about themselves to be ahead, even by the 2 points at the half. But I think the best way to categorize this game as a whole, and there is a lot of, in particular, second half minutia to get to, and some platitudes to hand out, obviously, for Steph and the finish that he had, and Jordan Poole, the third quarter that he had, and Otto Porter Jr. as somebody that, again, has a knack for coming up big on nights, or in this case, afternoons, where others maybe are not shooting the basketball or showing the offensive prowess that they're typically known for. But I think the simplest way to look at this game from the Golden State Warriors' perspective is they accepted the grind. They accepted the grind. They accepted the fact that, all right, maybe we're thinking about Phoenix. Maybe it's the lone afternoon game on the docket. Maybe it's in a building where shooting has been an issue, at least for the Warriors' best player from time to time. And you know that a Ty Lue coach team and a team wearing Clippers across the front of their jersey is going to try and make the game as ugly as possible, especially with Stephen Curry and Jordan Poole. And they've had, at different times over the years, some success using those kinds of tactics and that kind of gameplay. But I think the Warriors accepted that grind. And I think that's the indicator at this point of just where the Golden State Warriors are on this journey toward proving themselves to be championship-level contenders again. Because championship teams go in, and on nights or afternoons where maybe they don't have it and the game isn't flowing at the level that they'd want it to be flowing at, they have the ability to win it the opposition's way. And look, the Warriors have been the best defensive team in the league, and they have more weapons than the Clippers, so it shouldn't come to anybody's surprise necessarily that the Warriors were able to hold the Clippers down around 90 points. And throughout the course of a 48-minute game, their offensive weapons would come up larger than the Clippers' offensive weapons, and they'd wind up at some point pulling away in this one, and that's exactly what happened. But I think the biggest just initial takeaway is the Warriors accepted the grind on the long journey of an 82-game season, and all right, if we got to win ugly today, we'll win ugly today. And I think that's where, again, you sort of file this thing away big picture. And I think that's a very, very positive outcome. Yes, in the win. Yes, in the 7 in a row. Yes, in the 18-2 overall. But I think in the core crux of building a championship identity, I think that's a great place to start. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. It's John Dickinson here inside the studios as the Warriors get the win in L.A. 105-90 as they beat the Clippers in this one to improve to 18-2. Now, you got to get to Steph Curry, you got to get to Jordan Poole, because there were two key junctures of this game. Really, the beginning of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, where the Warriors were able to extend and pull away and gain some separation. But I think you also have to go back to the second quarter where the Clippers have been excellent in second quarters. Best in the league in second quarters. And the Warriors were able to get on a 12-3 run in the middle of that second quarter. And again, I talk about embracing the grind of this one. There was a rugged nature to it. The Warriors are not making free throws. They're not making shots. But they are defensively accepting that challenge, and they outscore the Clippers 24-18. And I think that was the moment where just being ahead and winning a quarter that the Clippers had dominated, I think that set a tone for maybe what was to come throughout the course of the remainder of the afternoon. And then you look at the third quarter, not a great start. I know the Warriors had four or five turnovers in the first 4 or 5 minutes of the game in this one. They had three turnovers in the first minute or minute plus, I think, of the third quarter of this one. But the one thing the Warriors were able to do was return the favor defensively, as the Warriors wound up with a season high in terms of steals, 19 steals for Golden State here. But it was an 11-2 run, despite a little bit of an off-kilter start with some of the turnovers. And all of a sudden, that two-point lead was pushed up all the way to 11, and then the Clippers got back in it with a 9-3 run of their own, and then you head toward the latter portion of the third quarter at this point. And Jordan Poole, second time we've seen Jordan Poole this season have nothing going in Staples Center against the Lakers in the opener, against the Clippers, and really for the second straight game head-to-head against the Clippers, as he was a 4-for-14 for 9 points in that game against the Clippers back on the 21st of October. But Poole has not a lot working for himself in this one. And Isaiah Hartenstein goes up, he gets a block, he flexes over Poole, and then Jordan Poole decides to go absolutely white-hot nuclear over the course of the final couple of minutes of the third quarter. 4 3-pointers. And this is part of the offensive weaponry that the Warriors possess. And I think, you know, you are as good as what you can, you know, put together on the days and the games where you struggle. And I think for the Warriors to struggle as mightily as they struggled at times, to still have the offensive weaponry to be able to have somebody go off and kind of take over the game in different moments, I think anger transitioning into dominance is another theme from this ball game for the Golden State Warriors. When you look at Jordan Poole, the anger of getting kind of shown up by Hartenstein, and then 4 late third quarter threes, all of a sudden a game where the Warriors had separated themselves and then it got close and you're thinking, wait a minute, maybe the Warriors didn't do enough to withstand the great defense that they had played. Maybe they haven't done enough to withstand the Clippers feeling that they're in a better position at that point than maybe they should have been. But Jordan Poole said, uh-uh. Jordan Poole at that point said, buries the threes. All of a sudden, the Warriors have a little bit of separation. And now you feel a little bit differently about Golden State going to the fourth quarter, because you know Steph Curry is going to be starting the fourth quarter. So typically a 7-8-point lead going to the fourth quarter, it, with the way the rotation has worked in the past, you're kind of worried, you're kind of confused, you're thinking, well, are you going to be able to withstand the non-Curry minutes? Well, now the top of the fourth quarter is no longer the non-Curry minutes. So you look at that, and it becomes, you have a shot to maybe push. And the Warriors, when you look at the fourth quarter, were able to go 9-2 to begin the quarter right off the top. And then from 75-68, it was 84-70. And then you had Terrence Mann clubbing Stephen Curry. No call. Offensive foul on the next play. And, you know, Curry was kind of upset. It was an uneven game, it felt like, for the Warriors in terms of they were upset with the officials at different junctures. I think they thought maybe that the officials were letting the Clippers get away with a little bit more physicality than they were letting the Warriors get away with. And so Curry gets the tech and really could probably consider himself fortunate that he didn't get ejected, because you so rarely see Stephen Curry come out as demonstratively as he did at an official. And there was a split second or two where I thought, oh boy, Steph might get ejected. And even though the Warriors have a little bit of a cushion in this one, it might be sketchy where they're trying to hang on and hoping that Jordan Poole's going to have to save them down the stretch as the Clippers are able to make some semblance of a run. But he didn't get the shooting foul on that layup where Man got him, got in the official's face. Probably on some days would have seen himself being told to hit the showers. But at that point, the Warriors extend the run as Curry goes hot. Bang, bang, bang. Three three-pointers consecutively. All of a sudden for Steph, it's a 21-7 run. It's 98-77 from 77-70. And you look at it at the end of the day, the Warriors are at that point cruising on an afternoon where the game was pretty ugly, and they wind up getting the win in this one, 105-90. So 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. I think you could file this one away as the Warriors taking some punches, maybe from the officials a little bit, maybe from the opposition a little bit, and now putting themselves in a position where, you know, they're showing some of that fight and that championship medal that would have the potential to lead them down the path that they're obviously trying to get back to and attain. So, all right, let's hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, in this one as the Warriors get the job done on kind of an uneven afternoon down at Staples Center. Here's the head coach of the Warriors.
It was as upset as I've seen Steph in a long time, and it was as upset as I've been in a long time, too. It's kind of a miracle that I didn't get a technical. But, you know, it seemed to get him going. So, you know, whatever it takes, I guess.
Why do you think that's
it? Well, I mean, he clearly got fouled. And, Steph is a guy who, you know, he's just so competitive. And you know, when he knows he got fouled, especially in a play like that in transition where it's right out in the open, easy to see, and he doesn't get the call, every once in a while he's going to snap. He doesn't do it often, but when he knows he's right, the competitor in him comes out, and he'll kind of lose his mind a little bit, but it often spurs him like it did in this instance. Yeah, similar. Only I don't really do anything special after I get mad. Steph does a lot of special stuff. Yeah, I didn't really. I just saw him go towards the official and you know, kind of pump his fist. So I figured he'd get the tech, but I didn't see enough of it to know whether he, you know, what was going to happen. You never know when it's coming with Steph. It can come out of the blue. But generally, when he gets angry, you know, he steps it up and turns it up a notch. Yeah, it was a you know, a chippy game. It was very physical. Clippers have a great defense. They play really hard. They make it difficult on you. And you know, we obviously have a great defensive team too. So it was a very physical game, and there was some some frustration. As there often is in a physical game. So technicals, both sides, whatever, it's just, it's all part of competition, and it's, you got to embrace it. He's been great defensively all year. And I hope people are recognizing it. You know, everyone obviously locks in on his offensive brilliance as they should, but you know, he had six steals tonight, eight deflections, he's all over the place. And for whatever reason, he has, you know, a reputation of being a poor defender. I don't see that at all. I think he's a really good defender, and he's been great defensively all year this year.
Is that positioning? Is it just basketball IQ, knowing where to be or how the system works?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of it is just his basketball sense. And then I also think he's in the best shape of his life. I don't think he's ever been stronger physically. And it shows up at both ends, his ability to, you know, run through contact on offense, off the ball, but also his ability to mix it up defensively. Well, I think with our team, everything starts with Steph and Draymond, you know, and their connection together. Draymond, every year, you know, is probably the leading assist guy amongst all the front court players. And Steph draws two all the time because of his offensive brilliance, and he does a great job of getting the ball out of his hands. I think it's probably one of the most underrated aspects of Steph's game is his ability to get the ball out of traps. And then you've got a 4-on-3. And so between those two guys setting the tone, then it's just, you know, move the ball to the open guy. And we've got a lot of guys who do that really well, just moving the ball on. I watched them last night against Brooklyn. They're a great two-way team. They defend really well, and then they're really efficient offensively. They kind of know who they are. You know what they're going to do pattern-wise. They're going to get into ball screens and spread the floor with three-point shooters. And
recording in progress.
Two great finishers with Aiden and JaVale, you know, rim running and diving to the rim and putting a lot of pressure on your defense. Monty's done an incredible job the last couple of years, just kind of building the foundation. Obviously went to the finals a year ago. So they're a fantastic team.
All right. So Steve Kerr there sharing his thoughts on this one. And, you know, the one thing that stood out to me, the reputation or the conversation with respect to the reputation of Steph Curry being a poor defender. I know Mark Medina, who covers the NBA and has covered the NBA for a long time, and I'm not coming down his road. He's a good friend and somebody that's been a contributor on this radio station when he covered the Warriors before he went to the National. At one point, he put out a tweet during the game, and he said, hey, you know, Steph Curry is having a sneaky good defensive season. And my response to that was pretty simple. I don't think it's been all that sneaky. And, you know, I know sometimes the defensive metrics and you can kind of pick your stats and anytime you're in a situation where you're early in the season, small sample size, all of that, you can kind of find numbers that sway for individuals one way or another, you know, depending upon, you know, how your read is on what case you're trying to make about a player, good or bad. But my point was, if you've watched the Warriors play over the course of these first 20 games of this season, you know Steph Curry's been – he's been a really good defender this year. And yeah, maybe there is this reputation of him being a poor defender, but really he hasn't been a poor defender – I think even going back to the last couple of years that the Warriors were contending for championships. I mean, I think we're 3 or so, you know, years removed from the time where he would have been considered a poor defender. I think we're actually at the point right now where it's almost you almost have to consider him a really good defender. I mean, I think that's the level that he's played at, and I really don't think it's that much of a surprise. If you've been watching the games, and I know that the game with James Harden and Brooklyn and he, you know, him kind of standing up Harden, who's clearly moving a little bit slower these days. I mean, there are more primary assignments that he's been asked to take and taken because Klay Thompson's been out. And sure, Wiggins will get some of those assignments, and the Warriors have thrown Gary Payton II on some of these scoring guards at different points, but Steph has accepted the challenge, and whether it's one-on-one defense or it's passing lane defense and the like, he's accepted the challenge in a big time way. And you look at Steph Curry, 6 steals in the game today for Stephen Curry, just impressive as anything. And the Warriors had multiple players with 5 or more steals at one point, and I think Gary Payton II actually wound up with a steal taken away at one point, because Steph ended up with 6, and Gary Payton II on the official box score that I'm looking at ended up with 4. But that would have been the first time in nearly 15 years that the Warriors had 2 players with 5 or more steals in the same game. So, yeah, you look at what Steph was able to do. He had 5 of the 6 in the first half, and he was on pace to potentially have the most steals that he's had in an NBA game in his career. I believe the number was 7 for Steph as far as his career high. And so, yeah, he's been all over the place in the passing lanes. He's been getting his hands in. He's been forcing a lot of turnovers. And I think a big key as to why the Warriors have had the defense that they have to this point. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We'll go ahead and pause. We're going to hear from Draymond Green here coming up. Warriors beat the Clippers this afternoon 105-90, and you heard it right here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Down below is Curry off a screen. Fired it from the right wing. Buried another one.
He's got 28 against this pressure defense today.
This crowd is roaring. 92-77 Warriors.
Now back to Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, and another ball game where the Warrior fan base went into another building and kind of took the joint over. You could tell both on the radio feed and on the television feed just from watching the game. And I kind of went back and forth between both. John Dickinson here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors wrap up. 105-90 Golden State is the final. Dubs are now 18-2. But, yeah, add Staples Part 2 to the list. And if you just run through, and the Warriors haven't played a lot of road games in the early part of this season, but the opener in Staples, always going to be more of a split crowd anytime you're playing the Lakers. There are a lot of Warrior fans inside Staples Center for that opener back on October the 19th. And then you go to Sacramento for the second road game of the year on the 24th, and they pretty much took over Golden 1 Center on that Sunday afternoon. And then Charlotte and Brooklyn as well were the two that really stood out the Sunday a couple of weeks ago, with Stephen Curry obviously going back to his hometown, and then the one that was probably the most audible and noticeable of any was the game in Brooklyn, with Stephen Curry getting the MVP chance while he's going head-to-head against Kevin Durant. In at that point, you could say, was maybe the marquee game on the entire schedule in the first couple of weeks of the season, only to be surpassed by the next couple of games that the Warriors are going to be playing when they go head-to-head against the Suns down in the Valley on Tuesday night, and then on Friday back up here at Chase Center in the Bay. But, yeah, today another one. So 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, this is what, the fourth time, fourth or fifth time, really, I think at this point, that the Warrior fans, and you can tell, you know, not being able to go to games freely these last couple of years, you compound that with the fact that the Warriors seemingly now are back on top of the mountain, or at least close to the top of the mountain in terms of being a contender status. And there's just a pent-up fervor and almost a feeling of a rebirth, it feels like, among this fan base and the love affair that they have with Steph and his game still being at that MVP level, I think even to a greater extent than it was last year. And it took everybody by storm last year, although fans obviously weren't able to go freely to games really until the end of the year, and really not even until the beginning of this season, when it could be full throat up here in the Bay Area. But the Warrior crowd travels well, and the Warrior fan base has traveled well, I think, to this point. L.A. times two, Sacramento, Brooklyn, hell, even Charlotte. And I know from over the years, the Suns haven't always been good. In fact, for the most part, they've been bad during the time that the Warriors have been good. Not the case now with the second-best record in the NBA, and a team that went to the NBA Finals, had a 2-0 lead back in July against the Milwaukee Bucks. But the Warriors and their fan base during leaner times for the Suns have been able to go down and take over that arena. Even going back, I think, to the We Believe era years, I feel like the Warrior fan base was able to go down and kind of take over in Phoenix, even when that iteration of Suns teams were pretty good. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. John Dickinson here on 95.7 The Game. It's Warriors wrap-up. Warriors win over the Clippers 105-90 as they get the job done inside Staples Center. 18-2 now are the Dubs on the season. There also was a bit of good news during the game. This dropped during the game. The Warriors sending out a release that Klay Thompson and James Wiseman were assigned to Santa Cruz. Both players assigned to the G League affiliate earlier this afternoon. Again, this was right around halftime when that was officially announced. And I don't think games at this point. And I wouldn't say that the Warriors have completely ruled out whether Klay and Wiseman potentially could play some games down in Santa Cruz. I don't think that's what this stretch necessarily is. And I just happened to look up the schedule of the Santa Cruz Warriors, and you look at it, and they actually don't even have a game until Friday. So the way this was reported by Shams Charania of The Athletic, along with Anthony Slater of The Athletic, and one of our very own Warriors insiders here for 95.7 The Game, it was put out there as if get some practice reps for both Klay Thompson and James Wiseman. And with the Warriors being obviously on the road, they didn't get a chance to practice yesterday. They canceled practice yesterday. They were going to have a little light workout before they flew down to L.A. They ended up flying down to L.A. and, you know, spend the night last night, early game today, obviously heading to Phoenix. They'll probably have a workout tomorrow. It was already deemed that Klay and Wiseman weren't going to be going on this little two-game trip. So the Warriors basically are not going to be back in the Bay until late on Tuesday night. Wednesday becomes an off day with the extra day before probably a practice day on Thursday, and then they take on the Suns in the rematch, and then the Spurs in a back-to-back. So that means you're not going to practice a week from today off of the back-to-back, and then you got another game on the Monday, and then you're going back on the road shortly thereafter for an Eastern swing. And then the point I'm trying to make here is, before you know it, the calendar is at December 20th, and you haven't had a whole hell of a lot of practice time. And that means not only for the current players that are healthy and able to play, but also trying to acclimate a couple of these guys back in and get them up to speed and get them those regular practice reps. So all of that being said, I think that's the explanation as to why Klay Thompson and James Wiseman both were sent down to Santa Cruz here for the next few days. Again, no games for the Santa Cruz Warriors. I know it was kind of floating around Twitter, like, oh, are they going to play in a game? And when can you get down there? How can you go buy tickets and the like? And look, I wouldn't be surprised if one or both at some point maybe did play in a game for the Santa Cruz Warriors. But I would imagine at this point that is probably not going to be on the table, at least in the near future. But again, there isn't any games. They play Friday and Saturday, which are the same nights that the Warriors play. So if it's going to happen, it would, you know, potentially happen then at the earliest. And then the only other option would be when the Warriors are out on the road, middle of December, December 17th, as they're wrapping up that five-game road trip before they come home and take on the Kings on the 20th, and then ultimately take on the Memphis Grizzlies on the 23rd before the Christmas holiday, and then you start getting into that range. But I think good news no matter what, that the activity level is where it is for both players at this point, and I think it's a good sign as far as Wiseman, who I don't believe had been cleared at this point to go through five-on-five or full scrimmages. So it could be an indicator with Wiseman going down that maybe he's been cleared to go through five-on-five or full scrimmages at this point, and that would be a means to be able to go down. You send those two players down, they're able to scrimmage with that G League team and get some run that way, work on the conditioning and go through all of the regular drills that you would go through with a team that's on a more regular practice schedule, which the Warriors at this point are not on a regular practice schedule. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's John Dickinson on 95.7 The Game. The Warriors getting the win this afternoon in Los Angeles, as it is a 105-90 victory for Golden State. The Warriors now 18-2 on the season, and it sets up the showdown for the Warriors to take on the Clippers, or to take on the Suns, rather, on Tuesday in Phoenix, a team that's won 16 consecutive games, and the defending, obviously, Western Conference champions. Just kind of reviewing this ball game again. Ugly first half. Warriors up to the challenge, accepting the challenge of just the physicality and the brutality. I think the Clippers loved the terms that this game was played on today. And I think the Warriors at times have been uncomfortable with those terms against teams that really want to muck it up and make it physical and have their wing players lean on Steph and lean on Jordan Poole and get in the passing lanes. And yeah, maybe we'll put you on the line a little bit, but that doesn't matter because there's going to be no flow to the game. There's going to be a lot of stoppages. There's going to be a lot out of bounds. There's going to be a lot of free throws. You, in essence, prevent some of the runs, at least in theory, you prevent some of the runs that the Warriors are able to get out on, and the Warriors really didn't have a massive run until the 21-7 run in the fourth quarter, but it was two big runs led by each of the Warriors' starting guards in this game that ultimately proved to be the difference. It was the Jordan Poole flurry of being able to knock down four straight three-pointers after Isaiah Hartenstein had blocked a shot and flexed over him. That right at the end of the third quarter put the Warriors in position where they were up seven going to the fourth. And then you had the sequence where, look, you don't want an angry Steph Curry. You just don't. And he thought he got fouled by Terrence Mann going up on the layup attempt. He pretty clearly did get fouled by Terrence Mann. And Curry, for him, I would say, went ballistic on the official, picked up a technical foul, but then had every answer from then on as far as just three consecutive threes. Bang, bang, bang. He hits three three-pointers, and all of a sudden the Warriors are up by 21, and it's essentially night-night for the Clippers as this Warriors team once again continues to show that they can win basketball games in many, 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 many different ways. All right, let's go ahead and hear from Draymond Green following this one. Draymond, he's not afraid to mix it up and loves the ugly type of a ball game. 8 points, seven boards. Draymond mixing it up in this one. Seven assists, four boards, just gritting and grinding his way to helping the Warriors to this victory. Let's hear from number 23 down in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that was great. And deserved. Saw the play? Yeah. It was great. No, I didn't. No. Yeah. They also took one away right there in the corner. But you saw the flurry coming. I was telling Jordan Poole over there, yeah, he about to put this one up. Started putting them up. It's good to watch. It's not just this season, though. I think it was last season as well. And I don't think anyone talked about it. I actually mentioned it a few times last year. Like, no one talks about Steph's defense. I think the one thing that has been constant forever is, damn, six steals. The one thing that has been constant forever is his effort. Like, he's never not given effort on that side of the ball. I think he used to reach a lot. And, you know, he'd be in great position and reach and foul. And we just kind of used to harp on him, like, yo, stop reaching, stop reaching. It got to the point where he would reach and be like, ah, as soon as he do it, you know. And you just have seen him continue to take steps. And now he's one of the best defenders we have on our team now. And I think you know, it's beautiful to watch when he's given the type of effort that he gives he's been given on that side of the floor. Everyone else has to follow, you know, and it makes our defense that much better. Teams are still trying to put him in a pick and roll, which is fine. We cover that, and in part due to where he is defensively, how good he's gotten defensively. So it's not just this year though. It's been a constantly getting better, and last year I thought it was just as good as it is now, but obviously he continues to get better. I think it's a mixture of all of them. It's strength, one of the strongest guys on the team now. You should see him in the weight room. He's pretty strong. But you also see him putting the work in every day, twice a day in the weight room. Like, it's sometimes a bit excessive. But it's beautiful. And now, as I said, with the defense, you see everybody in there after the game. You know, you see everybody in there before practice. But when that's what your leader gives you to follow, you have no choice but to fall in line. And so I think it's definitely a mixture of strength. His lateral quickness is better. But again, that's, you improve that in the weight room. And so, you know, him and Carl, they spend a ton of time together. Carl's almost walks around in Steph's pocket. That's how much they're together. And they're always working. And you see it. You see the improvement. So it's a mixture of those two things. And also his IQ just continues to get better. And that, you know, obviously that comes with time. And you just understand the offenses. You understand what teams want to get to. And you try to take those things away. But it's been great. It has its positives and its negatives, just like everything else. It definitely has its positives. As an athlete, a part of what you do is entertain. And when you see those followers, it gives you that juice, you know. It gives you a certain confidence boost. And so I think it's great, and, you know, nobody's following the team, so it's, you know, you want that, but it has its downside to it as well. Sometimes you just try and go on about your day, and it don't quite work out that way. You know, sometimes you want to go to dinner, and you got to get through 30 people to go to dinner, 40 people, 50 people to go to dinner. You know, so sometimes, it gets a little challenging at times. Because you lose some of your life. You know, you lose some of your freedom of what you can do and just do it. You know, like, not have to deal with whatever comes with it. Just go do what you want to do. And so you lose some of that. But in saying that, I think we all rather have it that way than the latter. So it's cool. The last couple of years, I've done a lot of work with Travell Gaines and James. And me and James put a ton of work in. And we'd be in the gym doing defensive slides and crossover steps and, you know, which helps you with recovery. You know, you get beat, your crossover step is important. You get beat, you can't keep sliding. Like, you got to make up that ground. And so we do a ton of that, a ton of explosive stuff, a ton of things working on my lateral quickness, you know, how fast can you jump after the first jump, different things like that. And so, you know, I got to give those guys a lot of credit. I feel way better than I have. I feel lighter. I feel faster. I feel quicker. I feel more explosive. And so, you know, for years that lifting wasn't really my thing. I just was already strong. So in my mind, I'm like, I'm strong. I don't need to lift. Like, what I need to lift for to get stronger? Can't nobody really move me like that. So, but it's so much deeper than that. And it took for me to continue to grow and gain that understanding of how important that is. And now, you know, it's just a part of the routine. It's, you know, it's just a part of the regimen. And it's like second nature now. But we do a lot of work on defensive sliding and, like I said, the crossover step, the drop step, just different things. So when you're in the game, it's second nature. You're not thinking about what you're doing. But yet, I can pull a clip, you know. And, like, I sent a clip to James last week. Like, yo, look at this crossover step. I had cut somebody off and got a block after they beat me. He was like, damn, that was elite, you know. But that's the fun in it, like being able to notice those things and just doing them second nature without thinking about it. Yeah, no, it definitely wouldn't go viral. just like defense never goes viral because half the people don't know what the hell they're looking at. You know, so it's easy to say, oh, man, this guy made a shot. He got hot. Like, yeah, we all see that, so can my kids. But on the defensive end, it's a little different. You know, you have to actually know what you're looking at in order to dissect it and pull it apart. And most people don't. Number one is it's going to be a very physical matchup. Phoenix is a physical team. They're going to run their sets. They're going to obviously, you know, they're following D-Book and CP. So you got to try to cut the head of the snake off whenever you're trying to stop anyone's attack. But overall, I think it'll be a good game. Highly anticipated. Two teams that's playing well. Obviously, they won 16 in a row. You want to be the team to go stop that, and you got a great opportunity to do it. But overall, I think it'll be a very tough game. You know, nobody's going to just walk in there and walk out with a win. You got to go in there and earn a win and take the win. And just do all you can to try to take them away from the things that they like to do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a much highly anticipated game. And it does all start with Chris Paul and Devin Booker and all of the length that team has. And you know, they're a physical team. They're a defensive team. They will want to, you know, make plays defensively, I think, similarly to the way that the Clippers do in terms of physicality and you know, defensive playmaking, as well as, you know, getting, you know, up and down and being able to, you know, put Booker in positions to succeed. I mean, it's a hell of a matchup. And when you look at, you know, top two teams in the league, Warriors have won 7 in a row. And, you know, they were in the finals a year ago and couldn't quite get over the hump. You've got the Warriors trying to get back to the top of the mountain. I mean, it's going to be an unbelievable game and couple of games with respect to in Phoenix on Tuesday and then at Chase Center on Friday. John Dickinson here, Warriors wrap up on 95.7 The Game. A couple of more thoughts here. The six steals from Stephen Curry and, you know, Draymond relating just how good Steph has been now from where he was, now being one of the best defenders on the team, one of the strongest guys on the team. He also kind of got into the fact that he's worked on his strength and conditioning at maybe a little bit of a different level. It's shown when you look at Draymond and just how he looks like he's – and look, he had the COVID issues at the beginning of last year, which I think set him back. And so I think when you look at it, you know, he's in better shape and was going to be in better shape naturally, just based on the fact that you know, he had gotten through that and gotten through that season. But he clearly committed himself to maybe going about things differently. And he looks good. He looks as good physically, I think, as he has in a number of years. And he's one of those guys where it always gets talked about, right? Like, you know, what's the decline going to look like for a guy like Draymond Green? I think people thought the last 3 or even 4 years there was maybe a bigger decline with Draymond coming or that it already happened. Well, he's pushed back on that in a big time way this year. And look, I've said it and I'm going to pat myself on the back a little bit for saying it. You put bigger stakes in front of Draymond Green and Draymond Green's going to come up bigger. And I think he's realized, like Steph has and others, that, you know, very quickly, this team has the opportunity to do something special. And when he's able to sense that, you get a whole different Draymond Green that's conducive to winning a hell of a lot of basketball games. And that's the Draymond Green that the Warriors have now. They've got the 2019-18-17 version of Draymond Green, not the 20 or even the 21 version, although the 21 version was still pretty good in its own right, but never felt like it was, you know, at that level that he's been able to attain for this year. All right, time for your Stephen Curry three-point update brought to you by MasterClass. As Steph came into play this afternoon with 98 three-pointers made on the season, Steph Curry 7 for 13 in this ballgame. Who says he can't shoot at Staples Center? Not a problem today, at least from deep. 12 of 22 overall, but 7 more three-pointers. So that pushes Steph over the 100 mark in terms of three-pointers. 105 three-pointers made for Stephen Curry on the season. And you look at Curry, he breaks his own mark for the fastest to get to 100 or more three-pointers. Fewest games. His mark was 20. He owns that. And you look at now he did it in 19 games. The Warriors' 20th game today, but Curry's 19th game for him this year. So he knocks down the 7, now at 105. MasterClass lets you earn from over 100 world-class instructors anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Get 15% off your annual membership at masterclass.com/the game. All right, we'll pause here. We'll come back. John Dickinson on Warriors wrap up. We'll bring in Dan Devone and Shamari Block as well. They're coming up after me. We'll bring those guys in here. That's coming up next right here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.